good morning, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that is our number. And if you prefer email, that's great. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, so market is chaotic as can be, right? Or does it make sense? And so I want to talk in the second hour again, because I think the market makes a lot of sense. It really does. It makes a whole lot of sense. And as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, corrections are normal. They're certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. None of us gets out. You can't be an investor in the market and not have the market sometimes go down. What happens? But is this really serious? And I've had a lot of conversations this past week about, you know, how scared people are. And I know that, but I know they've been scared. It's just more like, hey, if the market's going up like it did in 21, over 20%, like substantially over, like what was it, 28? Then I can be scared, but it's okay. But as we turn the calendar in January, are you ready for the headline news? It is the worst January in years. Okay. In fact, it's the worst month in a year. Well, since the pandemic. That's the headlines. Thank you. This is terrifying. And of course, that's headlines, right? But it really does affect our thinking. Are we able to actually deal with a market in decline when everything we read is just like, you know, hyperbolic about all of that? And when we see stocks like Amazon have a historic increase in valuations the day after Facebook has a historic drop in valuation. Now, not a percentage, but overall. So you have an amazing, crushing blow to Facebook. $230 billion. There's only a handful of companies that are worth $230 billion. In total, adding up all of the value of all their stock, right? Just a handful of companies are worth that much. That's how much Facebook went down. Amazon went up almost $200 billion the next day. And this all comes together with all of the noise and the worst January ever. Not ever, but, you know, that's kind of what they're implying. It's just unprecedented, just unreal. This isn't unprecedented at all. It's normal volatility. And so we're seeing January down 5% compared to up 28 last year. What are we supposed to do? But we are seeing volatility, and people are getting nervous. I found myself talking this week a lot about historically what it was like in the 1960s in America and 1970s. Even into 1980s. Because we feel at the time it isn't going to get better. That it's never been this bad. That politics have never been this divisive. And I don't disagree in some ways it is. It's never been like this where people can't have a discussion. I think it's weird that so many people just scream and yell about their political position and that a virus became a political tool. The decision of whether you should wear a mask or not is Republican-Democrat, not science. Whether we should reopen, whether teachers should be in the classroom is Republican-Democrat. Why? None of it makes sense. Excuse me. And when we are dealing with that kind of nonsense, it distorts our perspective of what's going on out there in the real market. What is actually happening with the economy, with the reopening, corporate profits. We get fearful because we can't understand, nor should we understand, how a virus becomes political, how we retreat out of Afghanistan in such a chaotic, bizarre way, with no apologies. How can we feel safe in a world like that? How do we feel safe when we're reading all the time about inflation, printing money, constant talk, the end of the dollar? Should we be buying Bitcoin? Should we be buying gold? I need my money safe. Fear, fear, fear. It's palpable. And yet when we look back and we see the super high inflation of the 1970s, the horrible political discourse of the 1960s, you start to realize, you know, this isn't bad. It's just loud. This isn't unprecedented. It's much less inflation. It's much less political angst. I get it. The FBI is corrupt. The Justice Department's corrupt. The IRS is corrupt. This shouldn't happen in America ever. Ever. And it's a very disconcerting thing for the future of our country. Censoring of Silicon Valley, social media giants, of somebody else's opinion because it might be conservative. Frightening. But doesn't it feel like some of this is changing? That even some normal people on the left are finding it frightening. They don't want people censored. They can disagree with them, but they also know that they're next to be censored. And is it right anyway? And when we think about this, it's not a political discussion. This is what makes us afraid of investing. I hear it every day. And then it talks about what's wrong with our country, what's wrong with our thought process, what's wrong with our dialogue. That's why we don't want to invest. It's not, well, I think PE ratios are too high. I don't hear that. I don't hear that corporate profits just aren't keeping up. I don't hear that. I don't hear that corporations' balance sheets are just a train wreck. I don't ever hear that. Number one, it's not true. Number two, that's not what people are afraid of. They're not. They're afraid of the discourse. They're afraid of the lack of justice, fairness. They're afraid of their own government. Truckers are bad guys? I should kill the old lady over there because she doesn't want to get vaccinated? I need to hate her? I need to shout her down? I need to shame her? It's gotten weird. And this is why people feel like I don't want to invest. Not because of anything economically. I don't hear that at all. There might be where we have a discussion about it, and then it might kind of throw something in like, well, you know, an inflation. But that has nothing to do with the 10 reasons why we were talking before. People are, if you will, scared of what's going on in the world and in their country because it is upside down. And for those of you who remember Calvin and Hobbes, it's Calvin ball. They make up the rules as we go. well, you should wear a mask. You shouldn't, and you need vaccines, then you don't. It's an epidemic of the unvaccinated, except everybody who's getting infected has been vaccinated, boosted, and we need 17 boost shots. It just is, they change all the time with no humility. It's Calvin Ball all the time. Here's the rules for discourse on Facebook. Okay, except it changes. If you don't agree with us, we pull you off. What? A hippie pulls his music off of Spotify because of he doesn't like the political discussion on a podcast? I'm sorry. I thought this was the guy that was in doing sit-ins at Berkeley, strumming a guitar in the 1960s and 70s. Huh? This is what's bothering people. Not just politically, it bothers them about investing. I get it. But we have to go back and we got to look at these things. And I will be talking the second hour a great deal about how much sense this market makes, because it does. It's perfectly normal. It doesn't mean something won't come out of the sky and make it worse. But it's acting to me perfectly normal. It's how we're perceiving everything in our world now. It's weird. But I think it's getting better. I think we may have peaked in stupidity. It's possible. I think there's great hope. I really do. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We have to take a quick break. It is Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I know it's just hard to imagine, but the market was actually up this week. It was up last week, too. It's interesting, isn't it? We get to thinking that the market, when it's in a volatile time, more volatile, isn't particularly volatile, and I'll talk a little bit about that in the next hour, how we have this perception that every down day is much more severe than every up day, and we do. We have this perspective that it is. And when corrections are down, and this was a sharp correction to begin the year, and then at the end of January, it's like it's going to get worse. And, of course, all the commentators come out of the woodwork. That's why I want to kind of try to put this in perspective in the second hour a little bit as to whether it really is all that bad out there. And it is for some stocks. Don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about that. There's some companies out there that are down a lot. And there's others that, like Google, Amazon, that are absolutely knocking the cover off the ball. Amazing. Apple had a great number as well. As a matter of fact, Apple had the largest increase in valuation in all of history, but they only held it for 1 week as Amazon took them out the following week. That's how big these companies have gotten and how big their moves have been on the upside as well as the downside. So we'll talk about that and break this apart. People are worried about a lot of different things. I think sometimes we're not really worried about the economics, though. We lay over top of that all the things that are wrong in this world. Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number, dave@petzofinancial.net, if you prefer email. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we might likely talk positively about Apple or Google or Amazon or something like that. We might talk negative about Facebook, who had a terrible earnings report. Has nothing to do with whether you ought to own them or not. There's no way to know what your portfolio looks like, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's just terrible noise, not helpful at all. We're really here to talk about things like what the market is doing, yes, but how we react to that. how our own emotions can take us down the wrong track all the time. This is something that's so simple and easy when you just stop and think about, right? It's like, okay, the market goes up 10% every year on average, no matter how old you are. But it never does 10%. It's up way more or less. And when it's less than that, we tend to be pretty frightened in something that's been around for a long, long time. And we also take other things, like I was talking in the first hour, of what's going on in the world, in our own emotions, of right and wrong, and what's going on out there. And we lay that over top of things as to why I should or shouldn't own stocks, because the Justice Department is corrupt, because crime is out of control. On and on. That has nothing to do with the economics. Those are emotions. That's why we talk about it all the time. It's nothing to do with whether Apple is going to sell more iPhones next quarter. Nothing to do with that. You know, I talked about this and said, you know, and we're going to jump on the phones here. John, Jim, hang on for a minute here. I just want to get this thought in. How abnormal the market is, that's how we feel, right? It's really volatile right now. It's just super bad. Nothing makes sense. Stocks just taken out, and there's boom, they're down by a ton. But I would say that if you look at some of the IPOs last year that were just didn't really make a lot of sense, the valuations were way too high. Anything electric vehicle, whether they have any real promise of doing anything or great promise, their stocks took off. How's that working now? How has it been working the last 3 or 4 months? Not good at all. Not good at all. And they shouldn't be. In other words, some of that over-enthusiasm of the market, GameStop, get rich on GameStop. We're going to get rich on AMC and other meme stocks. But no, you're not. Robinhood, I'm sure it's a fine little company. But is everybody going to be putting 10 bucks on stocks that don't deserve to be at the prices they are forever? And apparently the answer is no. That makes sense. It makes sense that high quality corporations that are killing it are not down much or at all. It makes sense that companies that pay dividends and raise them every year are holding up just fine. And some are even up for the year. It totally makes sense to me that companies that are not profitable, that were trading at ridiculous levels, are down 70%. That makes sense. That's not bad. That's healthy. That's good. It means we're being more discerning in the markets. Markets are going up because GDP is going up. Profits are going up. They're doing fine. But some didn't deserve to be at the valuations they were. That's not a dysfunctional market. That's a market that's getting very functional and makes sense. Like always, though, those swings can be more or less than the valuations really should be, because that's what they do. They swing a little bit wider than the real valuation. Maybe they go down a little bit harder than they should, soar a little bit more than they should, because the market pricing mechanism isn't perfect day to day at all. Again, back to our emotions. Who cares? Who cares? We shouldn't. All right, let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to John. John, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. John, are you there? Well, we can certainly hear you. If your phone is on, if your name's not John, maybe you ought to say hello. Okay, let's go ahead. Well, since we can't get John, let's try Jim. Jim, are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Dave?
Good, good, Jim. Good, good.
Tell me, Dave, how do you define hyperinflation? Because Kevin Miller all the time uses hyperinflation. Now, I know things are relative. To me, hyperinflation is what happened to Germany after World War One. Hyperinflation is what happens to a country when the inflation rate is 1,000%. And I think that the inflation in this country, for one, was worse in the 70s. Now, the way they're printing money and the way everybody's fearful and predicting, we may get to bad inflation, but right now I fail to see that it should be termed hyperinflation.
I'm not sure we've ever in our country had hyperinflation, frankly. I don't know that there's a definition other than using, scary words like hyper to define something. And that's the way we all talk now, isn't it, right? We can't,
well, you know,
can't
you know,
have
they,
high inflation. And
you know, one thing I'll say is you said that everything is political today, like, the diseases. Well, you know, now I am a conservative. But in this case, I think Kevin Miller is using it because, you know, he's using it against Biden. But somebody, hint, hint, Dave, somebody should tell Kevin not to use the prefix hyper.
Yeah, well, there are a lot. And I think absolutely you're going to say it's not just Kevin. It would be everybody. Everybody on the right is going to point to inflation. And I think rightfully, I think that it is Biden's problem.
Well, there is inflation, but it's not hyper.
It is not hyper. I would agree with that. And I also, as you know, am always talking about the fact that we do not have a reasonable discourse about anything in the news. I mean, I just learned something new. I had to look it up, that we have a non-binary person in the Olympics. I don't know what that is, but
yeah, that's
I do now.
Me. That scared
and
me.
And I'm like going, that's the news? This is what is important? You've got to be kidding me. No wonder nobody's going to watch the Olympics. It's the woke Olympics in a completely non-woke China. These people are horrifyingly bad. It's the most hypocritical thing I've ever seen. And yet the news is a person identifying as a non-binary, which just means they've got psychological problems, I guess. I don't know. You can't figure out what you are. I'm a human being, okay? And I'm a man, and that's the way it is. Now, I may like other men if I'm gay. I just don't understand this. And I think this all flows over into, I don't understand my country. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand the world. I don't want to invest. And this has an impact on everything we're doing. But when we talk about the discourse on the news, that there is no news. There's a very relatively little news. You're telling me that in your 1 minute news blurb, that's what you can come up with is an important piece of information in this world. Or we're talking about hyperinflation. We're talking about how bad a market crash. What does a market crash mean? It's the same thing. Everybody is using hyperbolic language to describe everything as if the whole world is in this complete constant state of disaster. It's true, and that's what we all talk about, but it also really affects the way we invest.
Yeah, and the thing is that people just figured, you know, I picked up through my life, you know, things that people said, and a friend of mine said one time, you know, nothing matters, you know, and, you know, like this too shall pass. And everybody puts two, you know, whatever. I mean, if you're in good health, you know, you may want to make money, but if you get sick, then money means nothing, you know. And yeah. So everybody, I don't know, fear of investing, you know, so you lose. What does it matter? You know, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I appreciate your call, and you have a tremendous day, and you can work on Kevin. And his language, okay? His language is normal.
I gave up calling Kevin himself years ago.
Right.
I'm not one of his militia.
Okay. Whoops, I guess we lost Jim. All right. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. I appreciate you putting up with me on the phone today. Up enjoying some a little bit of snow up here in McCall and snowshoeing and enjoying the winter festival. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. Give us a call. And right now, let's go ahead and go to Dan. I believe we have Dan in Caldwell.
Yes, hi, Dan.
Hi there.
I think that I'm on the right, but I think that we are living in very scary and unprecedented times. And the biggest problem, if I can get my thoughts together, is the tyranny of big tech working hand in hand with the tyranny of a corrupt government. And everything's up for grabs, but what's different fundamentally is the consolidation of power, the consolidation of media, false flags and lies propagated by government. And we've been lied to so many times now that the trust has been just beaten out of us. And you combine that now with a generation of people that are in power who haven't been taught to think for themselves and trust everything that comes across their cell phone. And their cell phone's got 300 or 400 selfies on it. And these are the people running the companies. So you can make money, and yes, the fluctuations in markets are not any different than the 70s or the 60s, but if you're in the right companies, if you're in the companies that are hand-in-hand with the tyranny of big tech like Google, Apple, and Amazon, the darlings, then you're going to do great. But if you're in a company that's not, then you may not do so well. And if you invest in those companies, you're going to get deplatformed. You're going to get canceled if you don't have the right message. And the you know, again, with the tyranny of big tech and government and electronic money, you're just going to get slaughtered in the future. And this is where people are so frightened. And this is where it's unprecedented. And this is something that's, to me, it's just extremely ominous, and I don't know where to put my money because of it. I don't know how to trust. I mean, if you listen to many conservative, rational voices who are keeping up with all of the huge power moves that are being made and documenting with receipts, and I listen to Dan Bongino, and he brings proof to every allegation he says. He shows you clips. He lets you see what's going on. This isn't a joke, what's happening. And patriots, people who love this country, traditional people who know how to think are being criminalized. And nitwit leftists who believe everything on their cell phone are being put into power to ruin our lives and make decisions of who goes to prison or not. And this is why it's so unprecedented and scary. And frankly, there's a lot of people who are afraid, but I don't think the ones on the left are afraid. They just seem to have embraced this. They seem to trust the government. They trust Amazon. They trust our elections. I mean, there's another very rational man, the Indian fellow, I can't think of his name, Dinesh D'Souza, and he's coming out with a movie which has documented with cell phone proof and photographs and video about the people who are coming and dropping off ballots in states that are where ballot harvesting is illegal. And this is incredible, and we're not even sure we can trust an election. And this movie may be the documentation that will convince the right, but the left will never see it because the government and big tech and the media won't show it. So we can't have a conversation. We can't even agree on the facts.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. I think you're absolutely right. But I also, and this is where I was kind of started today's program talking about it. This past week, I seem to have had multiple conversations about hope that these things are changing, that they are not there permanently. This is not our state of mind, that the facts are getting out, that people are understanding it. And even people on the left are losing their trust because of the stupidity of all of this and the overreach of the lords. You can't live in New York. You can be a leftist and just sit there and like you're part of the flat world society, okay? And you can put your head in the sand and you can deny that the lack of police seems to be causing an increase in crime. You can do that. But most people won't, even if they're leftists. Most people eventually will quit paying for their flat society, Earth society dues. They're just going to give up. They're not going to continue to beat that drum of stupidity, and they just aren't. So most people are starting to, most, not all, and that's part of it. We won't have a media that is honest. We have to deal with that. But what we have now is that we have more and more of these leftist journalists that are asking questions. Not all the time, not some, not all. We are, but we are still seriously getting more and more people that are starting to say, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. And even people out there that are not completely loony left don't think it's a good idea to come out and say, I will only choose the next Supreme Court justice from 7% of the population. And that's completely normal. And that's how bigoted and racist we are. And that's okay. It's like totally okay. It's not okay for me to say, because we do not happen to have any Asian women working at Petso Financial. Quite a number of women, actually too many. So we probably need to fire some. And the next advisor we have must be not a really good advisor, just we need to check a box. And maybe it should be an Asian woman. It's just so stupid. And this is the stupidity that has happened. And in much of the media is saying it's okay, but not most people. Most people don't think this is okay or it makes sense. I think it's changing. That's why I have hope in this, Dan.
Well, we've reached kind of a critical point, and we have a huge test coming up to see whether you're right, and that's the midterm elections. By every account, by every single person who's knowledgeable's account, the left, the Democratic left, should be slaughtered. And if the Democratic left is not slaughtered in the midterm elections, then I'm going to stick with pessimism because that's very discouraging because everything we know about, because you're right. I think it's honestly, I think it's a minority of people who are like this. I don't think it's a majority of Americans. I think it goes against everybody's who has any common sense. I do believe that, you know, people are ready to talk about transgender athletes very readily because they've been brainwashed for the last 20 years in grammar school and high school and college. And those brainwashed people, they're not going to get their brains back. You know, there's that brilliant man, Yuri Basimov, who was a KGB defector to the U.S. He said, those people They'll never believe any ream of data you show them until you've got them kicked in the mouth with a boot and you're dragging them off to an internment camp, and then they'll wonder, what? What's happening? Yeah, they've been brainwashed, and that's what they're interested in. But they're the minority, but the minority is in power. The minority is in the universities. The minority is brainwashing the American people. But this election will tell us a lot.
It will. Dan, thank you.
Thank you.
You have a great rest of the day. I appreciate your call. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO, and I think that is a classic example of what we've been talking about. We are not able to look past all of the things that are, quotes, wrong in our life that have nothing to do with finances. Nothing, whatever. And you can say, you can make an argument, well, it does in the long run, or tax policy, justice, good rule of law, all those things do, and they are. They're very important. They really are. But certainly on a day-to-day basis, why don't I invest is this comes out of all of us. I think I don't understand the world. It's upside down. It's backwards. Wrong is right. Right is wrong. The news now is we have nine non-binary competitors. Isn't that great? Not who won a gold medal or what they're doing to try to help the Uyghurs. No. That's not important at all. It's only who's competing as a psychologically challenged individual. Weird. It's just weird. And it makes us all feel like I don't get the world. I don't want to invest. We're going to take a quick break here for Fox News. And when on the other side, please join us at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome. And once again, thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. And also, I just want to mention we have been doing some Zoom meetings, and if you want to check those out at our YouTube channel, which, of course, YouTube, Petzo Financial, you'll find it. And obviously, you can subscribe there as well and get alerts when we do have something new posted. It has become, with this pandemic, some of these things are just tremendous, right? We can talk to 80 or 90 people. Get the message out when we're dealing with tumultuous times. It's wonderful. Stick around. There's so many new things. But so many of those new things, as I talked about, the market making sense to people or not making sense generally, is that we're seeing some of these like Zoom, Peloton, and some of these others that had gone up to too high a level. They're not going away. Maybe Peloton is. It's because they're only a bike, right? But you're not going to see these companies just disappear. We're going to keep zooming. But maybe their valuations were too high. It was too perfect. And so they're getting knocked down. That's okay. That's healthy. I'm not sure why it's so hard for us to not just take a step back and go, yeah, we once in a while, we need to have some corrections. It's helpful. It's like going through a mild recession where we get rid of some of the debt that's overhanging before we have. You know, it's like a small earthquake is good because it relieves the pressure on the earth, right? The plates are moving and they need to have some pressure relieved. Or if it builds up and builds up, it explodes in a terrible, terrible earthquake. Or a terrible recession. We get a 2008 where we get so carried away with debt that's what we wind up with. We get so carried away with stocks that they go to the moon. They don't deserve to. And then we have corrections that pull it back. It's rational. It's good. Even if sometimes we just don't like our monthly statement, right? That's okay. It's part of it. And sometimes when we're going through that, even those good companies out there get knocked down a little bit. But I think if you were honest about your review, for example, if you have a diversified portfolio, not all tech, meaning January really wasn't all that bad, and you're not down that much. You're not down 10%. It's not that bad. So when we look at it and we think about it, some of the things are very rational out there. And I think that to me, and when I'm visiting with people about the market, you know, and the worry and the concern of all these other things we've talked about. We heap that on top of the market, that we really come to a better understanding that this is normal. It's okay. And not to freak out, truly. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Professor. How you doing?
Good. Good, thank you.
Hey, I've got two questions here, but the first one is, when are we going to Nevada to spend our $75 tax rebate?
$75? Well, I'm not sure. That's going to get you very far across the border.
I've got two questions here, deep intellectual stuff, so I don't do a brain fade like I did last week. I was trying to explain how the tax cuts for large successful companies help everybody. And then, the bad word to the left, the trickle down. And the other question is how the exact mechanism, a Charlie Brown explanation of the Federal Reserve and how they suck some of this money out of the economy now that we've printed so much extra.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that part, I don't know if we can get a Charlie Brown explanation, okay? I'm just going to say that what they're doing, or have been doing, is they've been buying bonds in the market, okay? Which means they're injecting cash in, and now they're going to be
supporting themselves,
which means, right, exactly, and supporting interest rates, right, meaning keeping rates down. That is stopping and will be reversing. And what they're going to do then is try to shrink the balance sheet, meaning we've got trillions of dollars to go. But if we can start dropping down those trillions, it'll take decades or never. It won't ever really happen. But we need to start dropping it down. And what they're going to be doing is selling those bonds, which means what? The cash is coming back out of the system. So in one sense, they're putting it in by buying bonds. Okay, because they get the bond, put it on the balance sheet, and what happens to the cash? They put it in the system, and now they're reversing that. Okay, now
right.
It's going to be a very slow process. We're not going to see a lot other than markets can and do often react to what's coming, meaning overreact, not to the actual. Well, they're only going to do $50 billion. Right. That's no big deal to the economy, but it is to the market. So the biggest bond buyer is leaving the market. That's a big deal. And now the biggest bond buyer is not just leaving. They're going to start selling. That is a big deal. And that's why you're seeing interest rates have gone up to 1.9%. You can say that's because of a really good jobs number, blah, blah, blah. It's just because there is real inflation and the Federal Reserve cannot control long-term interest rates. They only control short.
You brought it up. That jobs number was the seasonal adjustment coming over the years, so that was almost
was.
The total of it. So, government said this is what government said this is what the number is. This is not what the number is.
Right, and it wasn't all bad. That's not totally fair to say they just made it up. There was some good stuff in there, but there was also some not so great stuff. To your point, a lot of that is seasonal adjustment, and certainly in the private payrolls, that 100% of the gain was from those adjustments. So
right.
You're right. Much of that is way overhyped. But the reality was they did vastly increase the jobs numbers that were very disappointing for November and December, and those came up a lot. So it's not
right.
All bad, and it's not all good. And a lot of it's dishonest, to your point. Okay?
Right, right. Okay, yeah, in other words, this is not going to happen in my lifetime for things getting worked out, so...
Right. It's not. They're not going to dump this balance sheet and get it all corrected. They have really screwed up, in my opinion, and now they're going to be scrambling to try to unscrew it. And this is global. This is not just the Federal Reserve. This is a global issue. They have tried something new, and now they have to undo it because it has to eventually be undone.
Yep. She's only a little bit pregnant. Sorry.
There you go. That's right. That's right. So we'll hope they're going to get through it. And I don't think there's any reason to think there is, quote, hyperinflation. coming. There isn't. It doesn't look like it to me. And so far, there's way too much competition, way too much technology out there to continue to drive those costs down. So I think we're in a reasonable position economically, but we are going to have real inflation. And this is a problem we have to resolve. And the Federal Reserve, for whatever reason, knew they had a problem back in the fall, but decided that what they wanted to do is continue to dig the hole deeper before they started to fill it. Now, I have no idea why all these really smart people won't ask the Federal Reserve Chairman to please explain why, if they know that they're going to start filling in the hole, why are they digging deeper now?
David, they knew they had a problem in 2008.
Yeah, well,
sorry,
no, they did not. They knew they had a problem in 2008, yes, but it was a different problem. This, as far as amping up the balance sheet, keeping interest rates low, this is now showing up in inflation, and they knew they had a problem. They admitted we had a problem. It's no longer transitory. We're going to go ahead and retire that word. Oh, no kidding. Well, the rest of the world already retired it because it was stupid. But the reality is now they are coming of realization, and we can say in hindsight it looks stupid. I don't like doing that. They are doing the best job they can. But I don't understand why we never had them explain why, if they think there's a problem, they would continue to dig the hole deeper. Why? It makes no sense. And nobody asked them for an explanation of why we dug for 6 months more when we knew we were going to start filling in the hole.
Right. David, if they would have explained it, then they knew that the poor, dumb deplorables out here would have had the pitchforks and torches out.
I guess so. I don't know. It's just absolutely loony. Anyway, I don't know what. You have these press conferences that go for an hour, hour and a half. You've got congressional testimony, Senate testimony. They've talked for days cumulatively. And all the Federal Reserve chairmen around, you know, or not chairman, but the board of governors all around. And they talk probably about three times a week at some, you know, economics club in Dallas or Atlanta or whatever. And they talk all the time. And nobody has ever asked, why are you digging the hole?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you know there's a problem and you've said so and you're going to stop doing this, you're going to, in fact, refill the hole. Why did we not stop digging? I don't know. It's just crazy. So anyway, let's hope they're right. I hope I'm right that it's not going to be a crisis, but it's not something that's going to fix in any time soon. Okay.
But the only options we have is to carry on anyway. So if they do or they don't, we'll figure out a way to get out of it or get through it.
You got it. I appreciate your call, Terry. Have a good day.
David, you have fun snow jogging.
Okay, we'll do it. All right. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And thanks for listening to the first Idaho broadcast of a non-binary financial advisor. Unbelievable. I can't believe that this is what we call news. Unbelievable. All right, I'll get over it. But you know what? It just goes to show you what we are reporting, what we're doing, and why it's so hard for us to get a handle on this simple fact. Optimism is the only realism. I know, you don't want to believe it. I know human nature. And when we have this bizarre world we live in where I'm so excited we have a non-binary athlete. Oh, my word. Isn't the world just so much better now? That we have to hire, to appoint, a black, only female, only to the Supreme Court. The same Supreme Court that says you can't do that because that would be non-constitutional to exclude everyone else. I can't hire that way. You can't either, but it's okay. And yet I'm supposed to take these thoughts and put that into my investments, meaning I believe in the future. That's why it's hard. So I don't say this as a political statement. I think the people that are, you know, do this are a fringe. I just think that they could happen to control the media. And so we think it's more. But it does bring us from the basic truth that we are relentlessly on our way to Dow 1 million. That's right. I know it's a Looney Tune thing. But if the next 50 years are anything like the last 50 years, we'll be way over a million. How about 1.5 million on the Dow? Seriously. We seriously worry about the day-to-day and the noise, and we let some of this nonsense come in. And we lose sight of the fact that this is not the way most people think. It isn't. It's certainly not the way most companies operate. We need to fight the good fight. We've got to change the way the messaging gets to our children so that they're not numbskulls that can't think for themselves, that want to give up freedom. Because you don't get it back. It doesn't come back. It's one of those things that we feel, and we feel it slipping away, and have. And why people don't invest. It's not because they think that the market won't work, that it won't work its way through, and it won't actually for the rest of their lives do 10%. It's because we have all of these other weird things in our life, that the world is upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right, and we're celebrating a binary, psychologically challenged person in the Olympics. Like, that's the news. That's the news. It's so weird. How do I react to this? I don't invest. That's how. My world is upside down. How can it possibly work out? It's a fair point. It's a fair question. The markets have gone through many, many things in the past, much worse than this. But when we are dealing with things that don't make sense, when we're lied to nonstop by our own government, and the feeling actually is if I just keep lying, people start believing it because, well, maybe they do. I don't know. There are a number of people in the Flat Earth Society. There are some. It doesn't matter. They really do believe that government is going to solve a problem for them, not create more problems. They actually believe that, even though in all of history that's never been true. They don't look at that. They don't care. It doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the agenda. But it doesn't change the fact that corporations deal with real-world problems, real-world politicians, real-world nutcases, day in and day out, and create, innovate, invent better and better everythings. And I can already see people out there shaking their head. No, it's not all better. Okay. All right. Medically, it's all better. The food supply is all better. How many people starved in Africa this year? Very, very few. How many 10 years ago and 20 years ago? Oh, well, that's just another problem solved. It is another problem solved. And we just go, boom, as if it didn't matter. And those million people a year starving don't matter. They do matter. They do. And I think that people are going to come to a realization that some of this stuff is crazy nutty and won't be around this way all the time. Things change. They swing back and forth. But we all have to, through these crazy times, recognize the relentless march forward that mankind is making. It's not stopping. It hasn't even slowed down. It's accelerating. Sometimes that's confusing for us. It makes it hard. And then on top of that, you have so many different outlets to scare you, to distort your perspective. you got to be safe with your money. Oh, yeah, put in a tin can, earn less than inflation. Great, groovy. I lose a little bit every year. Why is that safe? How would that be smart? But if we just pound it into people, they'll believe it. They'll believe the lies. I know, I've seen it for over 40 years. It's gold. It's equity-indexed annuities. It's lies. The world is abundant and becoming more abundant all the time. The only realism is optimism. I know it's hard, but we got to cling to that. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.